many believes that tonight? Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Yes, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't you love him? We're so glad to be back together again for another night service. We certainly were extremely blessed last night, but tonight's tonight. And we know the Lord has more for us, and we're in expectation of that. And we notice there are several here from Tucson Tabernacle, and God bless you. We thank you for coming and being a part of the services. We see some from Flagstaff and Sholo as well, and we're glad to have you with us. I see my buddy Dale Smith there. God bless you. It's nice to have you with us as well. Pastor from, I've got it written down here because I knew I was going to forget. Somebody say praise the Lord. Fill in the blanks here. North Country Christian Fellowship, is that right? Okay, I got it right. So thank you for coming. It's nice to have you. Amen. Brother Freddie and Sister Esther and your daughter, God bless you. It's nice to have you with us as well. And we have, man, I can't even read my own notes. It's terrible. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Brother Eddie Sanchez, God bless you. And his daughter, Andrea, pastor of Tree of Life Tabernacle, is that right? Phoenix? Yes, nice to have you with us tonight. And as was with us last night as well, we're glad to have Brother and Sister Collins with us. And Brother and Sister Boy Scout, where are they at? Right there, yeah. The Uttermost Tabernacle, I love that. That's inspired, you know. You go there and you've went to the uttermost parts of the world, right? So I'm glad that's there because that means that it's almost going home time, right? Because you have to go to the uttermost parts of, well, anyway. Amen. It's nice to have them with us as well tonight. Amen. Brother and Sister Gadman. So Brother David will be ministering for us tonight. Where's Sister Gadman? God bless you. And Brother and Sister Martin, it's nice to have you with us tonight. We're looking forward to fellowshipping around the Word together. Amen. And Brother Manuel Salazar, there he is. God bless you. And his wife as well. So they had a hard time getting here, I guess. There was a really bad dust storm on I-10, and they actually shut it down. And so Brother Manuel said, I told him, Brother Manuel, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. He says, Brother Baker, you know the drill. Right? The devil is, he said, this isn't the first bit of trouble that we've had. Even just coming to these meetings, right? And so he called somebody and they told him some back route way to, you know, go through a mining town or something. Is that what you did? Okay.
But, I was in the San Carlos
Apaches. Oh, goodness. Wow. Yeah, that's a little out of the way, I would say. Amen. But here they are. So amen. Thank the Lord for... Amen. We're glad that each and every one of you are here tonight. And if you weren't here last night, I'm sorry. We had a wonderful time. Our brother Andrew Glover started the services for us. And he hails from Black Rock, Arkansas. And it was just a wonderful starting of the services. And we were just so blessed. You know, he took his title was Expectations Lit by the Message. And You know, we had been kind of meditating on expectations a little bit and said a few things about that at the beginning of the service and actually at the end of the service on Sunday night. And we asked the visiting ministers if they could write down what their title is going to be and scriptures that they think that they're going to refer to. Not that they're stuck and they can only use those scriptures, but it helps our translator back there in the translation booth as he's translating into Spanish. It helps a little bit. So after Brother Andrew read his scriptures and the word expectation came up and kind of that theme and that thought, I thought, man, I hope he doesn't think that I asked for the scriptures and then I read them and then I tried to preach part of his message ahead of time. But it's just, that's how the Lord works, right? That you get into that same channel and it's just, I just believe it's the Lord's tender hand to us and his love to just show us that it's the same spirit, you know? And it's encouraging to the minister and to those of us that are here as well. So just powerful service. We don't want to re-preach it here tonight, but it was just a wonderful and timely message. Because here we are living in the ending up of all things, right? And I was thinking on a thought earlier today. We kind of fellowshipped around it a little bit with the visiting ministers that, you know, there's a lot of criticism that, well, what about this and what about that and how do we know this is true and how do we know that's right? And then there's just a lot of out-and-out lies that have been told, you know, to try to discredit the message and the messenger. And Brother Andrew pointed out how, you know, that it's in a time and age where of political correctness and watch what you say and this and that, that, you know, here we are talking about things that sound crazy to the world, but we believe, right? What we were fellowshipping around a little bit this afternoon was, you know, so in March 22nd of 1964, Brother Branham preached a message called Possessing the Gate of the Enemy After Trial, right? And Brother Branham would just get on a theme and then he would go and speak at other places, right? Just a barely a week and a half, 2 weeks later, he preached a message called A Trial, April 5th in Louisville, Mississippi. And then the following week, a court trial in Birmingham, Alabama. The following week, a trial in Tampa. The following week, a trial here in Tucson. And then 2 months later, he preaches a trial again in Topeka, Kansas. So he preached four messages that he called a trial and one message that he called a court trial. But it was basically the same theme. So five times he preached that message. And if you listen to that message in there, you know, he brought Mr. Skeptic up to the stand. And, you know, and he brought up the arguments that others were making against the living God and against the gospel. And he tried that case. And it was so airtight.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And he showed us just how thoroughly vindicated this message is. How thoroughly vindicated Jesus Christ is. Amen? And he did such a masterful job. Nobody stood up and said, well, I object. Right? So we had the trial, and the case was tried. Right? And he was found to be, this message was found to be true. Right? And nobody argued with him. Nobody stood up, right? So now, 60 years later, people want to say, you know, I've got this objection or that objection. Hey, the trial's over. We already had the trial. Why didn't you bring it up 60 years ago, right? The critics were silent. They had to be. Friends, this is the most, there's nothing that's ever been as vindicated as this. It's over-vindicated. It's so proven. God has proven himself in our day. You just have to be willfully ignorant to ignore what he's done. You know? And in particular, I'll shut up in a minute, but in particular, we had a true friend of the bridegroom introduce us to the true Jesus Christ of his word, right? Paul told us, you know, if somebody else came and preaches a different Jesus than the one that I brought, you may well bear with that person, right? And that was the problem, you know. I didn't know Jesus Christ, yet I went to church 3 times a week for, you know, into my 20s. And I didn't know Jesus Christ because I was introduced to a Baptist Jesus Christ. But there was a Methodist one and a Lutheran one and a Catholic one and a New Age one and a hippie one. And just no end to it, right? And yet I was introduced by the messenger to the true God of the Bible. And then he proved himself, right? Right? But he's still proving himself. He's still here. He didn't leave. He's still here. He's still proving himself. Amen? He's still proving his word. He confirmed his word last night. We're expecting him to confirm his word over and over again. Amen? So we're a privileged people. Right? You know, some of the arguments that we hear, just real lame arguments that we hear is, that's just one man. How do we know whether we can take his word for it? Well, okay. How do we know there was an Adam and Eve? As far as I know, there's only one man that talked about him, and that was Moses. We believe that, right? How do we know that it was a serpent that talked to Eve? How do we know these things? How do we know about creation? Because one man under the blood of bulls and goats who happened to be a prophet told us. And then God vindicated that man and proved that he was with them. Right? Amen. Well, this is more proven than anything. Right? And last night was just a real good reminder, you know, that just hold on, you know. Shut your ears. Nobody's going to talk you out of it. Right? Nobody's going to take it away from you. It's sad that they can't see it. Right? But we're not following, as he said last night, cunningly devised fables. Right? And there's proof. There's proof everywhere. It wasn't done just in a corner somewhere. There's proof everywhere you look if you're just willing to be honest and look. Right? But more than that, the same one is here tonight. So if you want proof, you can have present tense proof. Amen. As we've been mentioning to the church, and I will turn the service over here in just a moment, but as we've been reminding the church, our greatest time is still just ahead of us. Right? The most supernatural time that this world has ever known is right before us. I mean, the dead in Christ coming back, picking up bodies. And then those of us that are alive and remain being changed, not just an Enoch, not just an Elijah, but thousands of people, right? And then a short, quick work being done, a display of the manifestation of the sons of God. Yeah, I mean, we've got, but if we're not experiencing his presence now, how do we expect to experience something even more supernatural? Right? It's the same one. The same one that we're walking with tonight is the same one we're going to meet in the air. Amen. So I just thought it was a good, timely reminder, didn't you? And I thank the Lord for putting that on our brother's heart. Amen. So tonight we got our brother David Gadman that's going to minister for us, and he's a God called man. He's very humble. He knows how to skillfully use the sword, use the word. He's also a dear friend of ours, and he's ministered for us many times over the years. And so we just want him to take his liberty tonight. And if you, I don't know how long he's going to preach, and I don't care. And if you have to go, God bless you. But we want to hear what the Lord has brought. Amen. And so we want to invite our brother to just come and take his liberty. And how many has a desire for the Lord to do something, to make himself more real to you? Amen. Amen. I need you, Lord. Do you know that? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. How many can say that tonight? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. And so I lift my hands and I bow my knee and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. One more time with all your heart. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Have your way tonight, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. And so I live.
Let's do it one more time. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Needs them tonight. Amen. You may be seated just for a little bit. Amen. That'd be all musicians. Thank you. Amen. I know singers, so I ain't going to sing. We'll leave that to Brother Sean and different ones. Amen. And because I don't know if Brother Homer's watching. If I sing, you know, he'll get on to me when I get back home. So I don't want to be gotten on to, you know. So, but anyway, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you to Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer and church family for having us out this weekend. And I think he said 30 years, so that's quite an accomplishment. And so we appreciate that, appreciate just everything's been so nice, motel room and just the basket and everything. And so we just appreciate the Lord, amen, and them things. And just, you know, want to take this opportunity to say we appreciate you, we thank you, amen, for everything. And just seeing, I could just been so, made the trip so easy. Amen. When you come and, you know, you got brothers and sisters of like precious faith that stand upon the word of God. So we appreciate that. Amen. I like to read. I don't sing, but I got these little things that I pick up along the way. And I like to read this one to you, then something that the prophet of God said after that. And just if you bear with me, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. And try not to hold you too long. Probably something I have to work in the morning, but we'll try to get right into it. Amen. So this, I don't know the title of this. I don't know who wrote it. Somebody sent it to me. But it says, a rattlesnake bit a sheep in the face a week ago. The deadliest snake to roam these areas. The sheep's face swollen and hurt terribly. But the old rattlesnake didn't know the kind of blood that runs in a sheep. The antidote for snakes is usually made with sheep blood. The sheep swollen for about 2 days, but the blood of the lamb destroyed the serpent's venom. I was worried, but the sheep didn't care. She kept eating, she kept drinking, and she kept walking because she knew she was fine. Don't worry about the serpent or his bite. Just make sure the lamb's blood throws through your veins. Amen. Then I like to read this quote that Brother Branham said. And again, I can't remember who I heard or somebody was saying, but Brother Branham preached a message in 1963 called The Indictment.
Come on.
Hasn't anybody ever listened to that? Amen. Several times. And I didn't know he said that here because, you know, you go back and re-listen and you pick up things that you didn't hear. And Brother Branham didn't leave no stone unturned on the indictment. I mean, Brother Baker said something about, you know, the trial been airtight. Brother Branham said, you're the one that the verdict, it's yours, whether he's true or not. Right? Whether you believe him or not. And so, and he preached the indictment. He indicted the denominations. He indicted the independents. But listen to what he said in here. He said, Heavenly Father, it looked to me like the most every hand of young and old was up in this audience. Now listen. And I pray that every time the tape would be played, that people will put their hands up and kneel down in the room. Father and mother go over and get a hold of each other's hands and say, honey, we've been church members long enough. Let's come to Christ. He says, grant it, Lord. My, that's just stood out to me. We've been church members long enough. It's time we get into Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You have your Bibles? Let's just stand together with me tonight. You appreciate the Lord. You have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Isaiah, the 64th chapter. How many's got a need tonight? Yes, sir. Amen. I like that as he brought that. And I got a little thought here, and he said, the Lord changes directions, and I believe that. I believe in going by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we just want to go by his leadership. Amen. And he said, we're saying this, brought me out. I need you. How many needs him tonight? Amen. Amen. How many's got a need? Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, realizing, Lord, that we're nothing, Lord, without you. Father, we're miserable failures without you, Lord. But Father, thank God that because of your grace, Lord, we can stand here tonight and call each other our brothers and sisters, oh God. And so, Father, we just ask tonight, Lord, that you just move aside your vessel to afternoon, Lord, tonight. And may, Lord, you use me, Lord God. And Lord, like that song, I give myself away, Lord, so you can use me, Lord. Lord, you saw the hands of each and every one, Lord. Father, my hands up tonight, Lord, I need you more than I ever needed you, Father. So, Lord, I just ask, oh God, that you just minister to each and every one of us tonight, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you just help us, Father. And Lord, just guide each and every one, Lord. And Lord, just, Lord, whatever the need is tonight, Lord, you see the hands, Lord. You know what was behind each and every hand, whether it be financial, Lord, physical, Lord, domestic, Lord, spiritual, Lord God. Father, I know, Lord, we all need a stirring in our hearts, a stirring in our souls, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just minister to each and every one of us tonight, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. And Father, when we leave this building tonight, Lord, we can say like they did, Lord, like Peter said, Lord, on Mount Transfiguration, it was good for us to be here, Father. Amen. Grant it, Lord. We love you and we appreciate you, Lord. Now anoint, Lord, the word's already anointed. Lord, just anoint my lips of clay, Lord. Let me say those things you'd have me to say. Refrain from those things that you would not want me to say, Father. Anoint the heart and ears of the listener tonight, Father. And we'll give you the glory and the praise and honor for it all. For we ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Isaiah 64, and I want to read from verse 6 and 7, if I could. It says here in Isaiah 64, verse 6 and 7, but we all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Verse 7, and there is none that calleth upon my name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. May the Lord add his blessings upon the reading of the word. You may be seated. If I could for a little bit tonight, like I said, try not to hold you too long, but take for a little thought, stir thyself. Stir thyself. How many has ever been camping? Now, I don't like it. Be honest with you. I don't like it. I mean, I'd rather be somewhere else besides camping. I mean, you get dirty. You get that smoke, that fire and all that. But you ever notice everybody's ever been camping, you build a fire and it starts going down. Well, you got to stir that fire. You got to start rekindling so it'll rekindle itself. I think some of us need to be restirred tonight. You believe that? Yes. And we got to do it ourselves. We can't depend on anybody else to do it.
Come on.
I can't depend on Brother Homer doing it. I can't depend on Brother Doug stirring me. I got to stir myself. I got to look and say, hey, Lord, I got a need in my life. And Lord, I got to stir myself. You believe that tonight? Right. Psalms 35:23 says it like this. Stir up thyself. And awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. 2 Peter 1:13 says it like this. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Again, in 2 Peter 3, verse 1, he said, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So I'm just going to remind you tonight of some things so that it'll stir you up. Because we all need stirred. Oh my. You know, like a brother Andrew was saying last night, you know, sometimes we can become numb to the things of God. We become, you know, you say, well, I dance, I shout, and them things are all right. I believe in those things. But we can become numb, he said, by just sitting in the pew, we become numb to the things of God. I need a stirring. I need a revival. I need to be shaken. Hallelujah. We've just singing in the choir, we can still become numb. Standing in the pulpit, we can become numb. I don't want to do that. Amen. I want to shake myself. Brother Branham said one time, shake yourself. Peach your conscience. There's coming forth something. I say that in the name of the Lord. And it'll pass right through you and you won't even know it. Ain't that amazing? It'll pass right through us and we won't even know it. So I thought, my Lord, help us. So I begin to think about these things today, and or not only today, but come the first, you know, before the first of the year got here, I begin to think about my life. Yeah. You know, I'll be going through some health issues and everything, and it seems like, you know, my wife, you know, and everything, but, you know, we ain't going to focus on that tonight, but, you know, but before even that, I begin to think on these things that God, I just want a closer walk with you. I want a deeper relationship with you than I ever had, Lord. I want to be more like you than I ever had, Lord. You know, you go through things and, you know, Satan, he begins to talk to you. Don't he? About a year ago, started going through some of these things and, you know, we had trouble with our car and all that and just had to put some money in that. And I thought, my. And then I planted got a little rock garden at my house. You know, my wife, she got kind of aggravated, you know, I got to go back home with her, you know, so long trip, so she'll get on to me. But anyway, and all that, and just got some artificial cactus, you know, because I couldn't bring none from here. And so I got some of them red rocks and put it in there and put them cactus up. So came home one day and one of them cactuses was falling over. So went in the house and I noticed Brother Bryce in my washroom. I noticed a little spot on the floor. And I thought, my, I said, we must have a leak or something. And it seemed like the devil began to talk to you. He said, your car's breaking down. He said, you look at that cactus and all that's breaking down. Your house is breaking down and you're breaking down. Wow. You know how he talks to you. But I said, devil, you're a liar. Yeah. Amen. I'm healed by the power of Almighty God. And so this year I began to think, I said, God, what can I do? I just need to get closer with you. And he said, well, what about a prayer life? Because the prophet of God said you can talk too much, you can sing too much, you can fellowship too much, you can walk too much. But you can't pray enough. You can't pray too much. And so I had a book in my house. I don't know how I got it or came across with it, but I never even opened it up, Brother Dale. But it's E.M. Bounds, and it had 8 books compiled about the necessity of prayer, the purpose of prayer, and all that. So I pulled it out, and I began to look at that, and I began to say, God, help me to pray. Amen. I began to look at what Jesus said when his disciples, you ever heard somebody pray before? And you wish you could pray like them? Remember in the scripture, I think it's in St. Luke, that his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples.
Hallelujah.
And he said, in this manner, Lord, our Father which art in heaven.
Hallelujah.
It's got to become personal to you.
Hallelujah.
Our Father which art in heaven.
Amen.
It's got to become personal to you.
Amen.
Amen. And I just want this to become personal to me. Amen. And I want to stir myself. Help me, Lord. See, because God's so holy.
Yes.
Prophet God said he was so holy that 10 million suns would look like black spots before him.
Wow.
Can you imagine? So holy that the angels look filthy in his sight. Can you imagine? So holy. And here's these angels that don't know nothing about sin. And they're holy, holy, holy all the time, just praising the Lord. But in his sight, they're filthy. And I thought, if they're filthy in your sight, what about me? What about me? He said, angels before him are filthy. So I said, Lord, stir me. Let me stir myself, Lord. Let me get a hold of you, Lord. Let me shake myself. Lord, before it's too late. Hallelujah. Can I read this again if I can? Out of the Amplified. Would that be all right? Verse 6 says, for we have all become as one who's unclean, ceremonially, like a leper. And all our righteousness, our best deeds of righteousness, our best deeds, all of our fasting, we could fast till we're turned blue in the face. We could listen to tapes and we're supposed to do these things. But said our best deeds of righteousness and justice is like filthy rags. Our polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf. Here today and gone tomorrow. Somebody one time said they took a sermon and put every name. You know how it does when you see somebody that's gone on in memory. And said everybody that went on, that had left the church because of some crazy reason. And put in memory, wrote their names at. And said we're all like a leaf and we fade. Like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow.
Very good. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And our iniquities. You know what iniquity is? It says, like the wind, take us away. Far from God's favor. I need His favor tonight. I may not have your favor tonight. I may not have anybody's favor, but I want His favor. That's whose favor I want. Hallelujah. If I can have His favor. Oh God, let me have your favor tonight, Lord. Let me seek your face, Lord. Whatever it takes to have your favor tonight, Lord. That's what I want, Lord. That our iniquities are like the wind. Take us away, far from God's favor. Hurrying us toward destruction. We're on our road to destruction if we don't stir ourselves. Hanging over hell by a thread. Verse 7, no one calls on your name and awakens. No one calls upon your name. We can have a good service like we did last night, but nobody wants to get lit by the message anymore. Help us, Lord. No one calls on your name and awakens and bestirs himself to take and keep a hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the consuming power of our iniquities. Now I looked up that word. That word that I looked up, it said bestir. Because it says no one has calls on your name and awakens and bestirs himself. So, you know, I'm kind of dumb anyway. So I looked up that word bestir. And it means rouse to action. Hallelujah. If there ever was a time we need to be aroused to action, it's now. Amen. It's a time that we shake ourselves. Arouse to action. Say, God, let me do something about what I have in my life that I need to get rid of or whatever it may be. Let me rouse to action, Lord.
Yep. Hallelujah. Come on. Yeah. Glory.
Another thing it means is make an effort. I just want to make an effort tonight. Hey, I appreciate Brother Manuel being here. Hey, they had to make an effort to get here. Amen. And I hope God blesses them tonight. But what about me and you that were here all day? Did we take time to pray for their services tonight? Did we take time to ask God? Say, God, you, Brother David, don't know what I have need of, but you do, Lord. Got to make an effort. Get going. Get moving. And I like this last one. Get off one's backside. Hey, we got to get off our backsides. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Get up our backsides and say, here I am, Lord. I need to be stirred, Lord. Let me stir myself. Let me be aroused to action. Lord, let me not just take these things that I've heard for granted, Lord. But let me be roused to action, Lord. You know, we talk about sin. We all know what sin is. Sin's unbelief. My brother said, "Say, what about smoking, gambling, cursing, carousing around?" He said, "You do those things because you don't believe." But this in my footnotes, my Schofield, it broke down sin. And I like this. It said, sin, what is sin? It's just transgression.
Yeah. Amen.
An overstepping of the law.
Yes. Amen.
The divine boundary between good and evil.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. How many of us ever transgressed then?
Come on. All
right. Overstep the law.
Amen.
The divine boundary.
Yes.
That God has set before us.
Amen.
Between good and evil. Another definition, iniquity. An act inherently wrong, whether expressly forbidden or not. What about error? A departure from right. How many of us have been in error? a departure from right. You know, don't de-Christianize me just yet. But I was looking at YouTube the other day, and I spotted somebody on there that being ministered that's supposed to be in the message. Now, I ain't going to tell you who it is, so don't ask me afterwards. But anyway, he was talking about going to church and everything. So I clicked on it, Brother Sean, and I began to listen to him. I said, man, this is pretty good. You know, and he spoke about how that Brother Brown Holly spoke about Brother Neville being a pastor and all that. And I said, man, this is real good. You know, and so after that got done, he had two or three more things. So I said, well, I'll just watch another one, you know. All of a sudden, he began to go. I said, man, he's going south. He said, now some of these things were Brother Branham's opinion. And right there he lost me. I said, hey, you ain't vindicated and you can't tell me that, hey, this was just Brother Branham's opinion. Hey, man, this message has been vindicated and I don't think it was Brother Branham's opinion. And nonetheless, I'd rather take an opinion of a vindicated prophet than your idea of thinking that he was wrong somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have erred, every one of us, every now and then, by a departure from what was right. How about missing the mark? A failure to meet the divine standard. We fail to meet the divine standard. Hey, we've had some standards set before us. Come on. I mean, when I first came in the message, come on, you can do certain things. And if you did them certain things, hey, you're going straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 just straight there. Hey, they was pretty tough on us. But I think sometimes it's time to get back to where the toughness was. Amen. And get right with God. Amen. I know sometimes you say, well, Brother Deb, we didn't know some of these things and maybe we was kind of a little, went too far. I'd rather go too far than not far enough. Are you with me tonight? I'd rather go too far than not far enough. It gets to a place today where you can't even talk about television because everybody's packing one in their pocket.
All right. Come on.
And we got to be careful. The things that we set before us and the things that we look at. But we need. I need to stir myself. And if I got to get rid of those things, God, help me to get rid of them. I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Trespass means the wrongful entering of self-will and divine authority. You know what self-will is? Doing what one wishes. Hey, we stepped over divine authority a lot of times by doing our own will and not God's will. I don't want my will. My will, your will, our own human will has destroyed a lot of us. That's the truth. Oh, we want our own desires. Hey, oh, can you imagine? You remember with there was Nathan and Korah in the scriptures and they came up and they said, hey, Moses, you take too much on yourself. You ain't the only holy one amongst us. Hey, and I understand where he was coming from. Hey, he said, we're all holy. But Korah and Dathan and them had to take in fact that there was one spokesperson for that hour that they was living in, and that was Moses. And they could not overstep his divine authority like we do today. Hallelujah. What about lawlessness? A spiritual anarchy. Absent of government. What about spiritual government? You know, God, or disorder. You know, God's got an order to everything, Brother Sean. We was reading the scriptures before we stepped out of our motel room to come to church. And in there in the scriptures, it was saying how that they had an order to set up the tabernacle in the wilderness and to take it down. And they had to go by that order. Where each tribe was to be. What side they were supposed to be on. How far they were supposed to walk behind. When they gave marching orders and all that. God still has an order today, brothers and sisters. And unless we come through his order, amen, we'll miss out. I got to come by God's divine order and his divine authority. You believe that?
Amen.
That's why I need to stir myself and say, God, forgive me. If I try to have my own self-will in this, if I try to get my own desires or whatever it is, Lord, overstep your divine authority, Lord. Let me get back right in line with your word and with your program, Lord. Unbelief. An insult of divine truth. Now sin can only be remedied by the sacrificial death of Christ. Amen. I want to be in Him tonight. How much do you want to be in Him? Amen. I want to be in Him. I just don't want to be in the message. I want it to be in me. And what was the message? It was Christ. And I want Christ to be in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me and make me want to come to the house of God. Christ in me and make me love everybody. Whether you're different with me or not, it made me still love you. Amen. Christ in me and make me hug a man in a tuxedo suit and me in a pair of overalls and say, I love you, my brother, and really mean it from the heart. For Christ in me and make me want to come to the house of God and worship God. I like that song, The Alabaster Box. You'll never know what it cost me to worship Him, to praise Him. Not only what it cost me, but what did it cost my Savior? Amen. Hallelujah. What did it cost Him? Oh, God, help me to be in You tonight. That's what I want to be. I want to be in You, Lord. Hallelujah. Sin may be summarized as threefold. An act of violation of or lack of obedience to the revealed word of God. This word has been opened up to us. Hey, perhaps it didn't call our name like Dale Smith or Bryce Collins, but something on the inside began to turn over when we begin to hear this message. Amen. Oh, Brother Doug, something begin to hear. Amen. And I begin to, maybe I didn't understand it. Amen. Maybe I can cross every T and dot every I, but something on the inside said, amen. Hallelujah. I believe that's right. Oh, my. Oh, that's what I'm still doing today. After 60-something years of this message, amen, I'm still crying out, oh, God, be merciful to me, Lord. I want more of You, Lord. I need You, Lord. I need You. Lord, I need You more than I ever needed You, Lord. Let me stir myself, Lord. Let me make sure I got You in my life, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Says it's threefold. Like I said, an act of violation of or lack of obedience to the revealed word of God. A state, which is just a condition, absence of righteousness. Wonder what state we're in tonight.
Come on.
Or nature, which is enmity toward God. This old nature. And sometimes it tries to rise up. And I got to crucify it. I got to crucify it. Oh my. Sometimes what we do, we get a spirit of complacency upon us.
Right.
I really didn't know what that word meant, so I had to look it up. It says a feeling of calm satisfaction.
Think about that.
A feeling of calm satisfaction. Are you satisfied tonight where you at in your spiritual life? In your walk with God, are you satisfied? Well, I believe there's more.
Come on.
I don't want to do like the denominations did. You know, they write their books and put a period on there and that's all that God can reveal to them. But I believe there's more than that. Just come to the house of God on a Thursday night, hearing a few good songs, hearing some good singing, special singing, hearing a preacher of the word. I believe there's more to it than that. I want Him to come and have His life. Amen. Not on this flesh, not on this spirit, but on the inside of the inside, that my soul will say amen to every word. Oh, it'll come in subject, amen, to the word of God, to the revealed word of God. But it means a feeling of calm satisfaction with your own abilities or situation that prevents you from trying harder. Complacency. It prevents us from trying harder. You're satisfied where you're at. You know, we either got to be moving forward or backward. We can't be standing still. We're going either forward or backward. If we stand still, we can become complacent. Christ himself said it like this. Over there at our age, talking about Laodicea, he said, I'd rather you be lukewarm than cold. He'd rather you be lukewarm. Or he said, he'd rather you be cold, I'm sorry, than lukewarm. Is that right? He said, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. What do we become if we're standing still? We become stagnated. And we got spiritual stagnation amongst us. Oh, you let the water sit long enough and it becomes stagnated. And what happens to that stagnated water? A lot of wiggle tails and all this starts growing out of it. Oh, what about us today? We become complacent. Amen. And think we're satisfied with where we're at. I ain't satisfied. I want to keep moving forward. Amen. If there's more for me tonight, let me receive more. Let me be under expectation to receive more. Hallelujah. Amen. Under expectation to receive more from you. I don't want to come spiritually stagnated. Or we get a spirit of apathy upon us. You know what that means? Lack of interest. Well, it's Thursday night and they're having revival, but I think I'll stay home. In fact, I can live stream. Yeah, the devil put one on you.
All right.
Stay home in your pajamas, drinking hot chocolate and eating popcorn. Amen, when you could be in the house of God. Oh, yes. Oh, my, we ought to be in a... Hey, you bring your little pillar of fire, I bring mine, and we all can make one big, great big pillar of fire. Because I believe the pillar of fire is still here, leading the church. You believe that? But it's because we have the apathy upon us. We be lack of interest. We don't have no more interest in praying no more. We don't have no interest in coming to the house no more. We don't have no interest in seeing souls being saved no more. Amen. But the prophet of God said, how many wants to know? He said, how many's got the Holy Ghost? He said, let me give you a twister then. I want to see how many. He said in the Bible, it says they sent a marking. Over there Ezekiel sent a marking, an angel with an ink horn, marking those who sighed and cried for the abominations that's done in the city. Now how many's got the Holy Ghost tonight? How many's crying and sighed? Brother Sean, amen. I want to see souls saved. I want to see somebody delivered. I need a stirring, Lord. It's stirring in my soul.
Yes, amen.
Not just the city around us, Tucson and all that, but what about the church of the living God when there's young people sitting on the pews dying without the Holy Ghost? You say, well, I had cold shivers one day. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about on the inside of the inside. Where something's stirring you. Where something's shaking you. And you scream out and say, God, I need more of you. Lack of interest. Lack of enthusiasm. Have more enthusiasm at a ball game than coming to the house of God. Hate to say that, but that's just about the truth. Come on, church. Amen. Have more enthusiasm at a ball game. Who cares about a ball game? That ball game ain't going to take me to heaven. But this word of God is what's going to take me to heaven. This word of God is what's going to change my soul. This message is what's going to give me a body change. Amen. Hallelujah. He's real tonight. He's more real than I'm standing here this night. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, you put that kind of, oh my, you put that kind of enthusiasm, my, in a Methodist person, my, he'd go, I don't know what happened to him. One time, years ago, I went through the store and I seen, you know, now like I said, don't de-Christianize me, I just kind of glanced over at it. One of them Inquirer magazines. and it said, Pastor explodes in the pulpit. Now, I don't know what he exploded over, but I'll tell you what I'm exploding over tonight, and that's the Word of God being real in my life. Amen. That's the Word of God being made known unto me. Hallelujah. Lack of interest. Lack of enthusiasm.
Yes,
lack of concern.
Yes, brother.
Sometimes I wonder if we're really convinced that this is right.
Come on now.
Come on.
Hey. If it is, we'd get concerned about others. Why ain't they here tonight? Where are they at? Amen. What are they doing when they could be at the house of God, praising God? Where are they at? God help us tonight. Oh, Lord, stir me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Amen. My iniquities are hurting me. Amen. Father, away from your favor, Lord. I need your favor tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Now let me just read you what the prophet of God said about this scripture.
Praise the Lord.
What time is it? Brother Branham said 1952, I'm the resurrection and the life. Uh-huh. And here they are living in today. Into today, and Pentecost getting right into it. Your holiness people going right into it just headlong. That's true. He says, oh my, what a sad sight it is. What we need today, brother, is a revival.
All right. Yeah.
Now, a revival, Brother Ram said a revival wasn't getting more members.
All right.
See that ocean out there when he was looking out at Lake Michigan, I think it was, and just the winds was blowing, it was just a shock, chopping. He said, now the waters was real, wind was real still and everything. There was no more water than when it was, the wind was blowing across
there. Amen.
What the revival is, it kicks all the trash out to the side.
Right.
Revives what we got in us.
Right.
If we got something in us.
Right.
Oh God, help us tonight. If we ain't got something in us, God, help pray and say, God, stir my soul. Give me something. Then when you give me that something, revive that what you give me. He said, well, Brother David, I got a bucket, but it's got a hole in it. Then ask God to put a bottom in your bucket. Then fill it up once he puts a bottom in it. You believe that? Hallelujah. He said, what we need is a revival. A stirring. A breaking down.
That's right.
Oh God.
Yes, sir.
A breaking up.
Yeah.
Is it down to the potter's house again?
Yes, sir.
Who talked on the potter's house? It's Jeremiah. He was called the weeping prophet. What was it? I believe it, Brother Bryce, it was the Spirit of the Lord in him. Making intercession. He didn't want, Paul said it like this over in Romans. He said, would to God that I be accursed, say, so that my brethren can be saved. Can you imagine? What about us? Would we rather be accursed so that our brethren can be saved? God help us. So unconcerned though. We need a revival, a breaking down, back down to the potter's house again. Break me, Lord. Mold me and make me, Lord. Just don't throw the clay away, Lord.
Amen.
Again, he says, 1959, the time of decision. She made her decisions quick. Now, he's talking about Rebecca going to meet Isaac when Eliezer came.
Praise the Lord.
We had Eliezer in our day.
Yes. Amen.
She made her decisions quick. Watch her real quick then in the meeting. Quickly. If they're ordained to eternal life. They'll know it. I thought, man, that's good. If they're ordained to eternal life, they'll know it. There's something in the message that stirs them. Hallelujah. That's what stirred Rebecca. The message stirred her. I wonder what's stirring us tonight. Is it the message? What stirred us last night? Is it just because some guy from the hills of Arkansas or the hills of Tennessee, as he said, came by and was preaching and sweat? Boy, is that what stirred? Or did the message that he brought stirred us? That we need to come in here expecting to receive something from God. What did he say last night? Come expecting your healing this weekend. That's what I come then. Hey, I'm talking to me. He was talking to me. Amen. Mama, that's me. That's me. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. So the message stirred her. Angel was leading her. Oh, can't you see her picture? The angel of the Lord leading her. Then she was stirred. Immediately when she watered the camel. Abraham said she watered that beast that carried her to her Isaac. What's carrying us to him? The Holy Ghost. And what's watering? It's our praises. We are to come into the house of God with a praise, with a song on our lips, with a praise in our heart. Amen. We don't have to wait for the conductor or the song leader. We don't have to wait for the preacher. We can just throw our hands up in the air and say, God, I love you. God, I appreciate you. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for putting me in a message that has rapture and faith in it. So she watered the camel. The gift went on her. He began to take the earrings. Take out the earrings. Which means faith comes by hearing, you see. Put the bracelets on. The works of your hands. He got her ready. Soon she began to water. Give the waters of life. Testify. When's the last time you testified? Hey, there's a guy. Goes to Emerald Life Tabernacle over there. Name of Mike Wheeler. And everywhere he goes, he testifies how I witnessed to him. Hey, I don't know if this will work with everybody, but he's walking down the street one day in front of my house, and hey, I was an avid football fan. God had to take that away from me. Hey, I could tell you the Dallas Cowboys, every player that played, what position they played and everything, but God had to take that out of my, amen. And he was walking down the street, and I said, here, catch. I didn't know him from Adam. He dropped the ball. He said, hey, you dummy, you can't even catch. And that's how we did it. And we struck up a conversation. And I started witnessing to him and talking to him. And then I got on his nerves and he got on my nerves. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I never told this part of the story. I don't even know if I ever told my wife. One time he came over. My mom and dad were out of town. My brother was out of town. He came over to the house. He said, David, let's cook some stuff up. I said, I'll help you. I said, all right, because, you know, my mom was out of town. I didn't know how to cook. So he got to making some hamburgers. And so my mom had a deep fat fryer. So we got it out. And I was going to cook up some French fries, some frozen French fries. So I pulled them over there. He said, let's just put some salt in there. I go, no, we ain't going to do that. He said, why? Because this ain't mine. This is my mom's, and she don't put no salt in there because she don't want the grease and all that. You know? He said, let's do it. I said, no. He said, let's do it. I said, no. He said, let's do it. I said, just get out of here. Hey, I'm honest with you. I said, just get out of here. But something happened, Brother Sean. I could not let I had to keep witnessing. And one day, driving down the streets of Amarillo, he said, David, I got to get my life right. I said, well, when are you going to do it? He said, he beat on the dashboard. He said, tomorrow, I promise you I'll be at church. I may not be at your church, but I promise you I'll be at church somewhere. Came to our church, got saved. He's still the same God. He's still real. He said, testify, tell others what God has done for you. Get the message out. Tell them what has happened to you. Again, he says, nest stirring time. The Pentecostal church needs a nest stirring time. It needs an old-fashioned revival like he spoke of Jacob. He was the apple of his eye. He done wrong, but he found him in the wilderness, and he's like an eagle stirring her nest. He carried Jacob on his wings. He says, amen. The church had done wrong. We're all done wrong, but we're the apple of his eye. He's ready to stir the nest tonight. Send the Holy Ghost in and shake all the feathers out. Oh, let him do that tonight. Send the Holy Ghost, shake all the feathers out. And have a revival here in this Ukama Valley that'll warn the nation. Oh, why don't he do it this weekend? Right, start right now, tonight. Have a revival. Shake this place. Love Divine Fellowship that'll stir this city. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll do it. He said he'll do it. Yes, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and flutter over her young and taketh them up on her wings and bears them up in the air. He said, so did he, Jacob. And the Lord's inheritance is his people. Amen. That's it. God's inheritance is his people. He told Moses, I'm your portion. If you have your Bibles, turn with me quickly to Numbers 14. And this is where I'm drawing my thoughts from this message tonight. Pursuing. Brother Brown preached it in 1962, January 17th, 1962. Message, Pursuing. And he gets his thoughts from this scripture here in Numbers chapter 14, verse 41 down through 45. I'll read it to you real quick. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? An overstepping of the law. He said, now you transgress the commandments of the Lord. You overstepped the divine boundary. And listen what he says. But you shall not prosper. See, they thought they was going to prosper. They thought everything was all right. He took that word pursue, which he said meant venture without authority. How many of us have done that? Has ventured without authority. Oh my. He said, go not up. He said, don't go up. For the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. He said, don't go up. You overstepped. You transgressed. You overstepped the divine boundary. He said, the Lord ain't with you. Don't go up. He said, you're going to be smitten. That you won't be smitten among your enemies because the Lord's not with you. Verse 43, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you. And you shall fall by the sword because you are turned away from the Lord. Our iniquities have turned us away. Like the wind, like a leaf has blown us further away. Hurting us unto destruction. Why? Because we just pursue. Because we're Malachi 4 believers. We pursue. He said, because you're turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill and smote them and discomforted them even unto Hormah. My, I mean, they ran away like a dog with his tail beneath their legs. They were whipped because the Lord wasn't with them. Abraham used this message, like I said, pursuing. Oh my, I need a stirring in my soul, Lord. My heart needs stir. We read it, said, no one stirs themselves. I don't want to just presume that because, hey, I go to a message church. My pastor's Homer Longoria. He's been around a long time. That don't mean nothing. I got to get right with God. I got to have an experience with God. You got to have an experience with God. Not just a put on, but an experience to know that you know that you know. Now let me read. Can I just read some quotes now? The message, pursuing. And maybe preach off of them just for a few minutes and then we'll try to bring this to a close. It'll be all right. Amen. 1962, like I said. He said, them uncircumcised Egyptians, they thought we'll just pass right through the sea like they did. And they lost their lives. Achan thought this little wedge, it won't make any difference. What's a wedge? Starts real small, then it gets wider. It won't make any difference. The rest of the ladies are cutting their hair. Help us, Lord. Well, I just cut. Whatever. It don't matter. Bite, cut. Amen. It don't matter. Hey, this is what the scripture said. What the prophet said. Oh, we can go on a little further. Amen. Help us, Lord. Oh, I just don't want to presume. Oh, Lord, I need a stirring, Lord. I want to make sure, Lord, that you're in me tonight. I'll do the same thing. It won't make any difference. But what did it do? It never brought pleasure to his family. It brought death to every one of them. See, what I do, Brother Bryce, they know my family. Oh, there goes Brother Wendell's church, Brother Sean. Got five precious grandkids, daughter and a son-in-law. And what me and my wife, now what I know what I preach behind this pulpit, I have to stand and give an account for it. What I let go in my house, I have to stand and get an account for it. But you know what? It don't only affect me. It affects my whole family. I got grandkids. I don't want to see them affected by it. Achan, he thought, my, it won't matter. I'll just do this. I'll hide it. The Bible says he hid it amongst his stuff in his tent. In his tent. Amongst his stuff. What we got hid in our tent tonight. Amongst the stuff. Little backbiting. Little jealousy spirit. Oh God, help us. Oh, let me stir myself, Lord. Let me just not presume, Lord. Cause his whole family to lose their lives. Domino effect. Cause the church to come to a standstill. So when we compromise on any commandment of God to please the people, we'll kill the thing right there. Compromise on anything. Brothers, hey man, you ministers of the gospel, let's not compromise. Let's just say it like Brother Andrew said last night. Let's just say what the prophet said. Amen. Let's just say what he said. And forget about it. Amen. If it hair lips the Pope, let it hair lip the Pope. Amen. We're just going to say what the prophet of God said. Amen. Amen. See, he said, one little ridge, one Babylonian government stopped the marching army. Brother, one thing that we permit the church to do that's wrong, one thing we won't call out against and make the people straighten it up, it'll stop the march of this church. They presume you're going on. We may be in name. We may be in numbers. That ain't what counts. That isn't what counts. It's God with us. God in us. God moving through us. His word alive in us. Again, the same message. Church better be straightening up. Don't let us not presume this because we're bigger number than we used to be. We're more financially better than what we used to be. Can you imagine? I remember when we first came, reel to reels. Then it went from that to cassettes. First off, my mom and dad got some records. I still got them. Records like The Great Harlot and different ones. Hey, we progressed along the way. Now, we got it on our phone. We got it everywhere. God's made it accessible to us. Can you imagine? I don't know. Paul said, pass this letter around when he was this letter to this church, this letter. I don't know how many, by the time he got around, that letter might have been wore out. They maybe couldn't. But hey, we got it where we can hear what the prophet said. Amen. Amen. Off these tapes as he said it, when he spoke it. Just exactly like he spoke it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Oh my, thank God. Amen. He said, we're financially better. We got better business than we used to have. We have better dressed clothes than we used to have, better cars than we used to have. But oh brother, I wonder about Christ. How much is he with us? See, that's it. We're just presuming. Yes, sir. The uncircumcised cannot do it. That's right. They got drowned in the sea. Amen. He said, how much is Christ with us tonight? How much do I have Christ in my life tonight? I'm checking up constantly. And not just because this is a revival meeting or whatever it is. Lord, let me just check up every second of the day, every moment of the day. Again, you say you're a believer. God vindicates it. You don't have to presume anything. It's God. Consume. You don't have to presume. That's right. The brass altar consumed the sacrifice. If the sacrifice laid upon the altar and it was not consumed, God refused it. See, it's consuming. Are you God's sacrifice? Some of us had to sacrifice to get here. You, what it takes to put on a meeting like this. Hey, there's a lot of money, a lot of work, a lot of prayer. Brother Doug prays, who do I call to come in to preach to my people or whatever? I want her to be blessed because I want to see my people blessed. Hey, and I want to see them blessed. I want to see the bride of Christ blessed. It cost a sacrifice. He said, are you God's sacrifice? He said, if the sacrifice laid upon the altar is not consumed, God refuses. See, it's consuming. Are you God? Lay yourself upon the altar. Oh, God, that's what I want to do tonight then. Lay myself upon the altar. Help me, Lord. Lay myself upon this altar tonight and say, God, just take it all out of me. Empty me up so you can fill me up. Use me. That's right. Don't presume it. Believe it. Yes, sir. If you don't believe it, God won't receive your sacrifice. You could say, John did. This is him. He is true. I know it's him. God help me. Let me lay myself upon your altar tonight, Lord. Take everything out of me that's unlike you, Lord. Clean me up and fill me with your spirit tonight. Guinea says, don't presume. I'm running all right. Wait for a Christian personal experience. Don't claim the Holy Ghost when you see yourself still dilly-dallying in the world. Don't do that. Don't. You'd be better off if you just forgot about it, see? If you forgot. Well, say, Brother M, I got shivers all over me one time. That might be all right, too. See, but you say, well, I danced in the Spirit. I might have spoken tongues. I might have done these things. That's fine. Yes, sir, that's all right. But that life hasn't straightened up.
Right.
If you men still smoke cigarettes, tell jokes, take sociable drinks, lie, cheat, not honest with your neighbor, not even honest with your family, see, and claim to have the Holy Ghost, don't you testify that no more, brother. He laid the axe to the root of the tree. I need a stirring. You need a stirring. Listen, I'm trying to hurry now. He said, don't presume you have it. Watch your life and measure up and see what your life is. See the way you're living. See if you're in the faith. Search out and see if everything is going just right. See if the world still has got a love so much it call you away from the things to the things is really of God. Search. See if you still got a love for the world. It's got a hold on to you that it can call you away. I want it to die out. And I want to do it right now. Tonight. Can't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. I want to expect it tonight. Let me die out tonight to everything that's not like you, Lord. Take everything away from me. Take the love of the world out of me. He said, if it is, brother, check up right here. Stop right here. Say, Satan, you take that dirty thing back. I'll not receive it. Again, he says, may the church return in whole. Now, he preached this, like I said, just right down the road, Phoenix. You know, something how he came and he preached. You know, I think he preached Phoenix twice, a total separation from unbelief. Phoenix must have needed that. What about us? I don't know what you have need of tonight, but he does. Let me stir myself. Let me shake myself. Let me make sure that everything's clocking on 100. He says, now maybe the church return in whole. He said, may this be a time of searching in Phoenix. What about here tonight? Love, divine fellowship. May this be a time of searching. And love, divine fellowship. May the churches be stirred. There's a lot of churches represented here. He said, may the churches be stirred to holiness.
Yes, sir.
Seems like in the message we've got away from that. Said, may they be stirred to holiness. Lord, and may there be such a moving to see the great moves that you start up. And the power of God begins to flow among the people. And then worldly and indifference and impersonations and carnal comparisons. My carnal comparisons. Hey, the Bible says they that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. He said, carnal and worldliness creep into the church just exactly like it was our text tonight. They did run well. They came out of Egypt under the circumcision. Hey, we came out under the pillar of fire. Hey, I remember when we first came out. I remember, I might have told you this here before. My mama, 1969, I was just a boy, 9 years old. My mom and dad came into the message. Went to Hardy, Arkansas, be baptized. And so they got baptized in 1969. Not just 9 years old, but I think I was about 10 maybe at the time. And my mom was ironing some clothes, Brother Freddie, out there in the den where we lived at. And she said, David, I'll be surprised if you see your 12th birthday. That's just how close they thought it was. And they lived like it. I seen a 12. I seen another 12. I seen another 12. Brother Doug, you with me? Hey. And I just wonder how closer we are now. We're closer than we ever been. Everybody gets on the bandwagon. Oh, Trump's going to make America great again. I know you ain't supposed to, you know, mix politics and everything and make America great again and all this. Oh, it may make great for some people, maybe, but not like what we call great. What I'm looking for is a rapture of the church, a body change, a getting out of here. How close are we, friends? Amen. Let me be ready, Lord. Let me stir myself, Lord, to holiness. Let me stir myself. Let me have another dose of the Holy Ghost on the inside of my soul, Lord. The church was birthed at Pentecost, Acts 2. How many believes that? They went out and began to preach the word of God. But in Acts 4, they was back up there in that upper room. And they were praying and said, Lord, you see the beatings that were taken. You see what they've been doing us. They've been whipping us and beating us and even threatening to kill us. And said, if we preach any more in your name, they're going to kill us. Said, Lord, stir us, Lord. And the Bible says the place where they were assembled were shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they went out and began to preach the word of God with boldness. Like they never preached before, boldness. Amen. Birthed at Pentecost, inaugurated at Pentecost. But on Acts 4, they got refilled again. That's what we need, a refilling, a rejuvenating. Amen. That we go out and preach the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Amen. I just don't want it to be on the flesh. I just don't, you know, Brother Brown preached a message where Pentecost failed. And Ezekiel said, I'll take out the old stony heart. Hey, we needed that taken out. And I'll give you a heart of flesh, a heart that can be touched. And I'll give you a new spirit. Well, the Pentecost fell right there because they thought that new spirit was the Holy Spirit. But that new spirit wasn't the Holy Spirit because he said, I'll give you a new spirit. Then I'll put my spirit right in the middle of that new spirit that I'm going to give you. But they'd stop right there. They said, Brother Bram said, a new spirit will make you quit lying, make you quit cussing, make you come to the house of God. But you need his spirit in the middle of that new spirit. God help us. That's what I want tonight. His spirit right in the middle of that. God help me tonight. Yeah. He said, but when they came up to another part of your word and then doubted it, right there they stood and they lost the battle. And Father, we pray that never happened to your church in the last days. He's going to have an Eve that ain't going to fail. He's going to have a bride. Amen. And to keep his word. Hallelujah. He said, God, don't let that battle let us be defeated. Let us lay all the aches out, the wedges out of the camp. Come back to your word. Come back to holiness. Come back to righteousness and living for God in the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, grant it, Lord. Amen. That's my prayer tonight. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Stand together with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got this last quote and I save it for last. With your head bowed and your eyes closed. Would you this quote? And it just, I don't know if you ever read it. Surely we have somewhere along the way. I don't hear too many people talking about it though. It's 1961, Jezebel religion. You know, Brother Brown, he preached it hard, didn't he? He preached at Gun Barrel Straight. You know, if he couldn't get the people stirred, he had that Messiah sign, begin to call them out. I think Brother Doug mentioned Birmingham tonight. He preached there in Birmingham, which I live just an hour from Birmingham to the east. He preached spiritual amnesia and all that. He said, Birmingham, you're receiving your last sign. That's what he said. That can't stir us. I don't know what will. But in this part, the message that the last, he had people, he said, how many wants to receive the Lord? Raise your hands. And there was three people that received the Lord, or raised their hands, that wanted to receive the Lord. Now listen to what he says. I'm going to read this quote to you. Remember, he said, how many wants to receive the Lord? Three people raised their hands. He said, with their heads bowed, them who raise their hands and wants to accept Christ, he said, would you just stand to your feet just a moment? He said, while I pray individually for you, just raise up to your feet. Now he asked these three people that raised their hands that wanted to receive the Lord. He said, would you, those three that said they wanted to accept Christ as their Savior, said, would you stand to your feet that I may pray with you individually? Now, now listen to what he says. Oh God, have I failed? Even the three that raised their hands without conviction and to raise to their feet to accept the very thing they said they did. Can you imagine? Here the prophet of God said, oh God, have I failed? Even the three that raised their hands didn't even have enough conviction to stand to their feet. What about it, friends? What about it? He said, Lord Jesus, I commit it all into your hands. I preached your word and not compromised any. Now I lead this, the house to them, Father. He said, you do whatever is fit with both church and your servant. It's all in your hands. Now listen to his closing prayer. He said, Father, I pray that you save the lost. I wonder if there's anybody in the house like that tonight. He said, Father, I pray that you'll save the lost. Fill the hungry hearted with good things. Is there anybody in the house tonight that's hungry hearted? Give life eternal to those who are thirsting. Is there anybody thirsting tonight? Is there anybody expecting something from him tonight? He said, raise up your servants to proclaim this message. God help us tonight. Then brothers, preachers, he said, raise up your servants to proclaim this message. Give healing to the sick and the afflicted. Give glory unto thyself. For I commit myself with your word and in my hand and in my heart and in my mind, write your laws through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, amen. Let's just pray. And you're here tonight. He said, feel the hungry hearted. You're hungry tonight. The altar's open. Whatever you have need of. He said, get glory to yourself. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Fill the hungry hearted. Give eternal life to those that want it. Can you imagine somebody not wanting eternal life? Father, my head is bowed. My heart's been stirred, Lord. Lord, let me not compromise, Lord, on anything, Lord Jesus. But let me hold true to your word, Lord. Father, I see other ministers out there that's probably better and more, could put it more better together than I could tonight, Father. But Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you just help me, Lord. My soul stirred, Lord. My heart stirred, Father. I want more of you tonight, Lord. I need more of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, is there somebody in the house that needs more of you tonight, Lord? Father, before they leave this building, may they receive more of you, Lord God. If there's more to have of you to have, then there's more to receive, Lord. And there's more to receive, there's more to have. Oh God, quench this thirsting of my soul tonight, Lord. Change me, oh God. Brood upon me, oh God. Fill me to overflowing, Lord. Save the lost, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us tonight, Father. Lord, he said, I just committed the house to them. Commit me as your servant. All these people, Lord, to you, Lord. Said I didn't compromise, he said. Just laid it down, gun barrel straight, Lord. Pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. I want more of you, Father. Lord, like that song they brought me, I need more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord Jesus. I need you, Lord. Help me, Father. Sing whatever you got there. Amen. Oh, you love him tonight. You appreciate him tonight. Step away. Oh, I want you to give yourself away tonight.
Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself
away. Oh, don't you want to give yourself away tonight?
So
you're here tonight. You need prayer. We'd be glad to pray for you, whatever.
Lord,
there's another minister here. Glad to pray with you. You need the Lord. More of him tonight, whatever you have need of.
Myself.